Turn please to Hosea chapter 1, this most unusual prophet and book in the Old Testament. The most unusual thing that the prophet is called upon to do, and he certainly needed faith in order to do so. Hosea is one of those unnamed prophets in the book of Hebrews. But nevertheless, he comes in among the prophets, and certainly he and his ministry would be regarded as a great ministry in a difficult time. Well, Hosea is a prophet to Israel. We must understand that the people of God returning from Egypt into the Promised Land, they crossed into the Promised Land. And the two tribes that were in the southern section, Judah and so forth, they seemed to follow on to worship the Lord and remain free of idolatry. But this was not the case of what we call Israel in the scriptures, which is made up of the 10 northern tribes. And those northern tribes tended to absorb into the culture and tended to take up the religion of the culture of the Canaanites, and their chief idol was Baal. And we find that Baal worship and the problem with Baal comes many times. We have Elijah taking on the prophets of Baal. The Baal worship was an ungodly and evil worship. It was a worship that had temples and on high places, and where male and female prostitutes gave themselves in the name of the worship of God, and where they proclaimed that they were following the true and living God, but only to give way to the idols and the idolatry of Baal worship. Baal was the god of fertility, the god of agriculture, and its big image was that of the bull, and it has its connotations, and we need to keep our minds in Christ Jesus as we consider this tonight, and because this is a very unusual thing that God does. Here God uses this man, Hosea, and uses him as a picture of Israel's idolatry and ungodliness and whoredom against God. For he is told to go and marry this whore, this prostitute, this wicked woman, and more than that, he is told to have children by her. This is a most unusual assignment. And I thank God that the New Testament prophet of God and preacher is not called upon to do such things. Don't ever use these Old Testament prophets as a picture of a ministry that you could have, because this was for a particular time, for a particular people, to speak to the heart of Israel, those 10 tribes that had forsaken the living God and were committing whoredom against him by going after other gods. And those things were coming in to their lives and into their nation. And they are called in the scripture a backslidden people. And we need to understand the terminology of backslidden. You know, sometimes people are wanting to get re-saved when they're actually backslidden and need to come back to the Lord. And we need to be careful of that one. But here we find then that this backsliding that is spoken of here, and that God promises that he would heal, backsliding is simply going back. And there's a picture of a heifer given to Israel here, of one that should be going in for the milking, should be going in, but it's going back away from the direction of the master. And thank you. So he is called upon, Hosea is called upon, to a rather difficult ministry and a rather unusual ministry. Backsliding is described in the book of 1 John as it contrasts walking in the light and walking in darkness. the problem of the believer sliding back from the Lord, walking in the old ways, going back to the old ways. Don't go back to the old ways. Continue going on to follow the Lord, to know the Lord, and to do His will, and not to backslide away and become half-hearted and half-baked in your Christianity. God gives a word to Hosea to bring to the people, a word of hope. And He will heal their backsliding, he says in 14:4. I will love them, as you see in the notes there, I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. When a person backslides from the Lord, their position in Christ still remains the same, but their condition fails, their condition falls away, and they can sink back to a very bad condition, as the Bible says, as a dog returning unto its vomit. The Bible gives some very strong and clear pictures of what backsliding is and what the backslidden situation is. And so the man of God is given a very difficult assignment. And that's why he is dealt with here as a man of faith, one of those prophets of faith. A difficult assignment in a difficult time to a difficult people. And the Lord blessed his ministry, and he was faithful even though he had hardly any converts whatsoever. The nation hated him. They hated his message. They did not like the graphic picture of them being like whores and being like wicked women of the night. They did not appreciate being described in that way, but that's what they were. They had gone away from God. They were following after, whoring after the gods of this world and the idols of the folks round about them. They were visiting the high places and engaging in sexual sin and immorality and idolatry and disobedience, all marked their life in disobedience to God as backsliders. They neglected God. They neglected God's word. They resented God challenging them and trying to convict them of their sin and problems. The New Testament preachers often get that difficulty of people rejecting their message and getting angry with them because they preach against sin in a half-hearted, backslidden sort of Christianity. These people were self-centered and egotistical, and they were under God's judgment. This is the thing that we're not allowed to talk about these days, apparently. Being politically correct, we're not allowed to mention the judgment of God, which is upon Christendom and upon the world today. And all the evil and sin that is running rampant. But now, in the name of political correctness, we're not even allowed to speak about it, apparently, in case we are guilty of hate crimes. We must preach against sin. We must be faithful against sin, as this man Hosea was. And that takes a great deal of faith, to believe God will use that message and somehow that he will get through to people about the truth of God and their need to walk with the Lord. You know, Hosea's name means salvation is of the Lord. This backslidden people had slidden away into their sin and gone back into the worldly ways. Only the Lord could help them. Only he could deliver them. And that's why God gave the prophet that name, Hosea. Salvation is of the Lord. The word Joshua comes from that derivation. And Savior comes from that derivation. Only the Lord could help them in their need. If you have a problem with sin and backsliding away from the Lord, only the Lord can help you. Turn back to the Lord. Confess your need. Cry out to the Lord for his blessings and his revivings. And praise God. He has promised to do so. And he will revive his children. You see, this nation, the northern kingdom, then as a result of their sin, went into exile and were dispersed from their land. And they continue that way even today, but now they are returning. And many of the things that Hosea talks about, the blessings that will come, are the blessings of the millennial kingdom when they have returned. So his faith reached down through the centuries as he looked to that day of Christ's return when the Lord would have mercy upon them. After that they had been through tribulation, the Lord would have mercy upon them, and the Lord would raise them up and use them in that millennial kingdom. Oh, what a sad picture here of Hosea then, that is called upon to marry this woman who was whoring, this woman who gave her body to sexual sins with men and others, and doing that which is unprofitable and not pleasing unto the Lord. That was the picture. What a graphic picture. What a strong picture the Lord has to bring to his people to show their need and the problem that they're in. So it is a challenge to us as we see Hosea's faithfulness for us to be faithful in a day when the church has gone a-whoring. The church has gone a-whoring. Who would ever have believed that the Uniting Church, the Methodist Church that became the Uniting Church, that it would ordain gays and that it would endorse that kind of thing? The founder of Methodism preached Christ and preached repentance from sin. He preached the new birth. You must be born again. How sad it is that that is gone in Christendom. Much of Christendom is in bad and run-down condition. Just look at a lot of the churches that are round about. And look at the mess that they're in. And look at what they're trying to do in order to pull up their bootstraps and get themselves out of the mess. And to bring in the world's ways rather than to look unto the Lord, who alone can save and help in time of need. So poor prophet, this was a difficult assignment. And we see the prophet's sorrow. But this is a tragedy of the prophet, that he showed his love toward this harlot, praying and hoping that his marriage to this one would cause her life to transform, that his love to her would so touch her that she would turn to be faithful unto him. But this did not happen. And the prophet was sorrowful that this did not happen. It's a picture of God's sorrow over unbelieving Israel, over backslidden Israel. It's a picture of God and how he feels towards every believer that is backslidden, how he loves them, how he sorrows for them, how he longs for them to come back, how he calls for them to turn back to the Lord. And yet, they do not. So the sorrow of the prophet was engaged in this way. Through the wrongs he suffered, he came to realize the sins committed by Israel were against God, and the long history of the unfaithfulness towards the Lord. So here we see the account of his marriage and birth of his children, his wife's unfaithfulness and so on. It makes sad reading. I don't think you can read this book and feel excited about it. Some of the recent messages I've brought in this series, I've gotten so excited about. But this has brought me heaviness and and has been difficult to execute, if you like, to bring it together and to bring it to you. So Gomer, his life was immoral, and she was whoring away from him. Society was corrupt and God's law was spurned. This is Israel, the northern kingdom. They were away from the Lord. And how sad that was, that they were away from God in their sin and worshipping idols when the true and living God had been so good to them. He had brought them out of Egypt. He had brought them through miracles into the promised land. And he had blessed them in a land of milk and honey, that they turned away from him. And this often happens to Christians. And the number of Christians I could think of that I have known over the years that have fallen away back and gone back into the world's way. Some of them even gone to jail in their sin. And how sad that is. And yet, this man was a faithful prophet in the midst of that situation, in the midst of an unfaithful wife. How sad, how terrible this would be. Society had corrupted God's law and spurned the Lord. Hosea came to see his own sufferings as a reflection of what the sorrow of God must be when Israel proved utterly unfaithful. He loved them. He continued to love them. He continued to reach out to them. And he continued through the prophet to give a message of hope for the future. So Gomer went away from Hosea. He went down into the slave yard of sin. And Hosea went down there and paid half the price for a slave to bring her home again. How sad is that? And yet, that did nothing for her. Her heart was not touched by that. And she continued on in her sin. So the prophet was not only God's messenger of grace. He reflected God's character and overshadowed ultimate redemption through the Messiah and Israel's re-establishment as a nation. You know, that's amazing how God has kept them together and brought them together in the promised land, even in these modern times. So these names then that you find, there are names here and different terminologies that help us to understand this book. Hosea, that means salvation, is of the Lord. A prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. Gomer, complete. This name means complete. She was supposed to make her husband complete and to know his love and to be faithful. Hosea's unfaithful wife, who provides the backdrop for God's sermon to Israel through Hosea. Jezreel, one of the sons God soweth, and this here predicted the judgment of God and how Jehu's dynasty would be expired. Then you've got the next one, Lorimer, in 1:6. It means no mercy. The baby girl seeming not his, not behaving as a child of the father. No filial love is seen in this situation. And no doubt this poor girl had the picture of the mother, the unfaithful mother, was the only woman that she saw close to her life. So it did not help. And this is the picture of Israel then. There's the baby girl that does not respond with no filial love. Israel would have no more mercy, only judgment from God. A prophecy of the Assyrian captivity. These Assyrians would come defeat Israel and take them to be captive. Then there's Laomai. And I don't suggest these names for your children. Parents, think about the names that you give your children. But here, the prophet was told that these were the names he must use. Seek the Lord for the names you must give your children, and be careful about that. Take it seriously. And then there's Laomai, my people or kin, Israel, not my people or kin. Israel was rejected. The temporary rejection of Israel resulted in their dispersion. And that's how God moved in judgment upon them. Fall is a word that is used in chapter 4 and verse 5. The people stumble and fall. They stumble and fall. Backsliding is described in this term. It is described as falling, stumbling, staggering, tottering. Hosea likens the false prophets and their followers to bumbling, staggering, tottering spiritual drunks, walking in the dark. Had they looked to the Lord instead of their own wisdom and strength, they would not have fallen. We see then that this is a terrible description of their fallen condition as backsliders. And then they are described in the term Ephraim is used oftentimes of Israel. And this just means a double heap of ash. You know, God's saying, Israel, you think you're a great nation, you're just two heaps of ash, that's all you are. And what does the wind do? It blows it away, you know. Would you like that if Pastor stands up and tells us next Sunday, Church, you're just a double heap of ash. That's not much good for anything, is it? And that's how Israel was in concerning to God. You know, they were of no help and they were not faithful to the Lord God. The other term that could be added on to that list is backsliding, simply going back. And there is a picture of a cow. They're pictured as they're called Israel is a heifer going backwards. Now, I don't know if you've had anything much to do with cows. I haven't. My wife's grown up on the farm. She knows a little bit about this. If you're trying to get a heifer into the stall and she's going backwards, she can get pretty mean and she can kill a person with those kicky feet of hers. Can the backsliding or the going backwards cow falling back into its own dung and into a terrible mess. What a picture of Israel. Israel's idolatry and wickedness, its bondage to sin. It's in the muck and it's a terrible mess. It is sliding backwards, going backwards, back to the worship of the world, back to the Canaanites, back to the evil, ungodly places, back to the temples, back to the prostitutes. God's own heart was sorrowful and broken over this situation. And that's something of trying to paint a picture of the situation that this man came to and where he had to prophesy. I would liken it to going down to a red light district in any city around the world. I would liken it to going down to a shopping concourse anywhere around the country or around the world. When people are given to sin and idolatry, when they go through and look in the shops and want everything, they want it all and their covetousness is real and they'll use a plastic card and go into debt because of it. Be careful of that. So it was a terrible situation, not unlike the day that we're in. And yet in that day, God raised up the word of the Lord. Came unto Hosea. Thank God for people like you that will respond to the word of God and that will be a witness and a testimony and a prophet in these days. God bless you. God bless you. It's not an easy ride. And there are a lot of disappointments and sorrows. We don't take them personally. We truck on through looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we go by faith. The faith of Hosea the prophet. The faith of Hosea the prophet. You see, I haven't really gone into the details of the book of Hosea. You can do that and study that in your own time. But what I have sought to do is to show the faith of this man in the midst of this situation and this crisis, so that we might have the same faith in our day, in our time, in our difficulty with the ungodliness and the religious apostasy and idolatry and whoring that is going on at the time. By faith, Hosea knew the true and living God despite the nation's idolatry. Isn't it amazing? God had his people that had not bowed the knee to Baal. God had his people. He saved them just as he does today. Around the world, you find Bible-believing Christians gathering as we do. They may not have a building, they may not have the cathedral and all the pompous and all the rest of it that the devil gives to distract them. But you find true believers opening the Word of God, preaching the Word, and following the Lord and seeking His face and not being given to idolatry. The Word of the Lord. Stick to the Word. Amen. The word of the Lord. This is the most valuable thing that you have. You can't take anything with you. You got the word of the Lord, and you'll meet the Lord on the other side, and we'll be gone by the word of the Lord over there, amen? But hallelujah for that. So he was called of the Lord, and he responded to the Lord's calling. By faith he received the call to be a prophet of God, preaching to a backslidden and idolatrous people. I could hear some modern Christians saying, "Dear Lord, what's the point? What's the point? They're so evil and the Lord's coming again. What's the point?" You know, but this man of God, by faith, he received the call. He took it seriously and he preached his heart out to this backslidden and idolatrous people. You think about the things that he had to tell them. It's not an easy task. Don't think it's going to be easy. It's not an easy road that we travel on. And we must be faithful unto the Lord. By faith, he married a harlot woman to illustrate God's love for a spiritually adulterous and unfaithful nation. It was adulterous toward the Lord. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, "Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms." This was a terribly difficult ministry and message and thing that he had to do for a holy man of God who was committed to serving the Lord. He took this woman, he obeyed God, hoping this would convict the nation and cause repentance and healing from the backsliding, idolatry and spiritual adultery that was going on. What a difficult thing. His life had to be a message. His marriage a message to an ungodly people. By faith he loved Gomer, believing that the marriage covenant would challenge Israel to return from whoring to be faithful to the covenant of God. However, Israel refused to repent, even though God had a deep, perpetual love for them. Yet the harlot nation did not return. They did not repent of their ungodliness and their evil worship. Hosea in chapter 1 and verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take the wife." He was faithful to the Lord, hoping that this would result in her sanctification, in her transformation, in her salvation, as it were. By faith, he remained faithful, though Gomer chose not to respond, even though he purchased her from slavery to sin. This caused deep sorrow to the prophet Hosea. Be faithful. Be faithful in your ministry. Keep preaching out there on the streets and the highways and byways, compelling them to come in. Remain faithful, though Gomer still chooses her evil ways and ungodly ways. Yet don't be influenced by it. Don't be discouraged by it. I've heard of people that have been doing street ministry in the years gone by. And I had a funeral of a son of a couple that did a lot of street preaching and the work of the Lord. They had the squeeze box there. Mrs. Ringlott just bought a squeeze box back from Queensland. I don't know whether she intended. It's a heavy thing, but at this couple, and they had the squeeze box, they did the children's work on the streets and in parks and everything. Something happened, and they got upset. They were offended by something that happened. They refused to go to church. They refused anymore to do their outreach. Their two children never went to Sunday school, only occasionally. And in seeking to work with the family and to get ready for the funeral, I was seeking to find some evidence, maybe, that this young man had a faith in the Lord, but got nothing. All I heard was, well, he went to Sunday school once, or went to a meeting once, did a beautiful picture of Jesus. Is that all? Is that all you have that he did when he was a child? What about his teenage years? What about his young adult years? No, there was no testimony. There was nothing there. But they'd been disappointed through their preaching and so forth, and discouraged in the way, and turned from the Lord, and indeed backslid. And the result was the next generation He had his bikey friends there at the funeral. And they were all crying and saying, this should not be. Oh, this is so sad. This should not be. And they had their little bikey badge. And the best they could do as the casket was being lowered was to take their little bikey badge, sit it on the corner of the coffin, and then crying and smiling, that's what he would have wanted. That's what he would have wanted. Hello. So I preached strong that day. Amen. On the dangers of speed and booze. And it goes on and on. What else I preached, I know not, as the Spirit of God led. But there was a very tall gentleman back there in the back of the crematorium or whatever it was, and he was smiling. He was going, yeah. Anyway, I went to him afterwards because I needed to know who he was and what the story was, and he said, thank you for being so honest with those people. Amen. I'm a Christian and I'm also a copper. He said, thanks for telling him as it was. Amen. Hadn't been long after Dodie and Di smashed up in the tunnel. Forget your conspiracies. Come on, be real. If you're in an old Merc that's been beat up once or twice, you're speeding through a tunnel, the driver's a bit drunk, everybody's a bit drunk. And what do? The paparazzi gets after them, the speed increases, and the tunnel is as strong as it ever was. Smack, bang, boom, boom, the whole thing was torn completely up, and she was killed. Drink. What the drink will do, what speed will do. You know, if I was elected PM, you know what the first thing I would do is? I'd ban the booze. Right? I'd be a bit like Prophet Hosea. Boy, would I get in there in the life. Tell you what. But the man of God was faithful. He loved Gomer even though she was unfaithful, even though she wouldn't listen to him, the people wouldn't listen to him. He kept preaching. By faith, he remained faithful. Faithful to Gomer, though she was unfaithful to him. A picture of God and how he loves us, even though we go astray. Even though we may backslide, he loves us. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of, in verse 3, which conceived and bare a son. By faith, he named those children as God had directed. It's one thing about Hosea, he was obedient to the Lord. Jezreel, which speaks of the Lord's judgment. Lirimah was a little girl, which speaks again of God's judgment. And the blow of the sword against them. And the third name, which meant that God had turned away from his people. How sad that is. And that's what happens when you backslide. It's amazing how people pray when they're backslidden. But their prayer does not get through. And it's so sad. By faith, he sought to warn them of the judgment that was upon them. In point 8 there, the indictment according to Hosea. Israel sinned in four ways. They were violating basic covenant requirements of faithfulness and kindness. They were rejecting the knowledge of God and his law. They had become self-satisfied and proud and had forgotten God's grace. They even spoke contemptuously against him. Pastor, why don't we go out witnessing? Have you got any tracts for us to use? We don't do those sort of things around here, confronting people and making their life a misery, trying to force them to be saved. Hello, preacher. Which Bible are you reading? Not God's Bible, amen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you. Oh, there's the promise of God. That it's hard when the people do not want to hear. They're engaging in idolatry, harlotry, and cult prostitution. 3, they were trusting in human devices. In other words, political alliances, politics, was coming into it, and they were trying to make alliances with kings and other people, warriors and foreign covenants, rather than trusting in the Lord God. Trust in the Lord. Look to Him for His help and protection in times of need. There was instruction given through Isaiah. The Lord told the people of Israel to stop promiscuity, that's sexual sin, idolatry, iniquity, and return to Him in humility and faithfulness toward the law of the covenant. In the judgment, Hosea informed Israel that their present distress was because the Lord had abandoned them and had further discipline, and that further discipline would come. This would include foreign domination, deportation, destruction, desolation, and death. You think of the different things that he had to tell them about their condition and situation. He preached against their sins of immorality and their whoring against God and their worship of other religions and other gods. He spoke about the sins that they were they were participating in. He warned them of destruction that was to come. He warned them about the sins and what it was doing to them. In chapter 9, Israel is like rotten grapes or rotten figs. How about if Pastor stood up next Sunday morning? You lot are like rotten grapes and rotten figs. They stink. You stink pretty bad, he would say, you know. Ah, now then. Rotten grapes and rotten figs, a rotten vine, like a heifer going backwards. Israel's like a bad son. Imagine you get up down the street and preach on some of these themes, how well it will go. They'll be calling the cops. One of the last open ears I was involved with, they called the cops on us. And the local mayor, who was also the owner of the shop that we were in front of, he reckoned the window was rattling like that and the whole place was going to go down. 30 or so bikies on the other side. We were over on this side. We were preaching Christ and having a great time. People were beginning to get responsive. And the cops came and broke it all up. And some of those bikies came over from their bikes on the other side of the road. This is Mount Gambier. We're out the front of the Big W, what used to be the Big W. I don't know what's there anymore. They came over and they were wanting to ask questions. You said such and such. What does that mean? Do you mean that we're going to hell if we're not saved? Yes. Oh, boy. We had a time of it. The police weren't too excited about it. No, there was the local mayor. Hello. Does that sound like 2018, 19? Yes. Dear old Hosea, what a sorrowful ministry in difficult time. By faith, Hosea did offer them hope. God would heal their backsliding, he said. God would revive them. He would bring them back. And also the prophecy that he brought to them was far-reaching down through the centuries to our day and to the time of the Lord's return. Israel will be restored to their land. They will be blessed during the millennial time. And he speaks about that and seeks to give them hope. In your message of Christ, in your talking about sin and hell and judgment, make sure you give them the gospel. Make sure you take them to the cross. Make sure you show them the love of God. Make sure that you really give them that message strongly. That God loves you. God cares about you. God wants to save you. God wants to change your life. He'll transform you if you come to Him. He'll heal your backsliding, Christian, if you're sliding away from God, if you're not living the right kind of life, if you are dabbling on all kinds of other things and you are dabbling in mysticism and in idolatry and maybe in witchcraft and those things. It's time to say goodbye. It's time to make an end to dabbling in those things and to come back to the Lord, to turn away from them. A Christian cannot be, by the way, a Christian cannot be possessed of a demon and Christ. The two are not together. If you have demon trouble, you yet have not been converted, and you need to be converted. You need to call upon the blood of Christ, and the devil will take a runner then. When you call on the blood of Christ, and with all your heart you are fully committed unto him, oh, he'll take a runner and you'll be delivered. You'll be delivered. I've seen it over and over again in lives, and God can still do it today. In Psalm 130 and verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word I hope. The psalmist had his hope in the Lord, so should we. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, these preachers, these early preachers gave hope, which also said, ye men of Galilee, and Jesus said this, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even the Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquities. That's what backsliding is. It's sin that a person gets involved with. Got no one to blame but yourself. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take all the iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Ashes shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, the idols. Ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel, and shall grow as the lily, and cast forth its roots as Lebanon. This is the millennial kingdom, when Israel will blossom as a rose. God's wonderful promises, all because of Calvary, by the way. By faith, he chose to continue faithfully. By faith. How are you going to go on and face the battles of life? Year by year, week by week, hour by hour? By faith. How are you going to step out onto the street Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whenever? How are you going to stand up for the Lord in your workplace? By faith. How are you going to continue to say the word of the Lord and to talk about the Lord and his coming? To preach Christ and him crucified? By faith. By faith, this prophet continued unto the end. I know it because of what he's saying here in chapter 14. The prophet is not saying, oh, abysmal, all is lost. The people are not repenting and they're going further into sin. Oh, no. God is able to deliver. He is able to save. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. What a closing verse. He's not giving any ground to the transgressors, saying, you're going down, brothers. You're going down. You will fall. Repent. Get right with God. Get back to the Lord and allow him to heal you of your backsliding. Put away those strange gods. Put away the things, the idols and the things of life that allure you away from the Lord. Put away those sins. Put them off, as we heard this morning, and be renewed in your minds in the Word of God. Oh, what a man of faith was Hosea. What a message. What a hard time. What faithfulness. What godliness. What sweetness in preaching the love of God to a loveless world. Let's pray.